Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the new creature in Christ Jesus. Chapter 4. The new life granted in the new birth encompasses the made alive spirit. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to offer himself as a sacrifice for the salvation of humankind, he had in mind that he would have to pass through the death of the cross, but he also was sure that this was the necessary way for him to grant the newness of the heavenly life to all those who would accept the provision that was being made for them for the forgiveness of their sins. Besides the fact that the Son of God came in the flesh into the world as the provision to free people from their sins and their eternal condemnations because of these sins, he also came to provide their freedom to offer them a new condition or a new kind of life. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came to remove that which was between people and God and that which bound them under the condemnation of death, but this he did so that human beings could freely receive eternal life and the Heavenly Father's Spirit in their hearts. Everyone who believes in the work of Christ and wants the salvation and reconciliation that he offers receives from the Heavenly Father his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is granted to live in the life of the one who receives the Lord Jesus by grace and through faith. However, everyone who receives Christ and the Spirit of God also receives from God, together, the quickening, awakening, or reviving of his or her own spirit, for that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The natural man, just in his condition of body and soul, lacks a quickened or revived spirit, which, in turn, is only given to those who receive Christ. The natural man, as we have seen in the previous chapters, does not understand the spiritual things, for they are foolishness to him, needing, therefore, to become also a spiritual man. So, the most necessary or essential message for the merely natural man, first of all, is the communication that Christ died on the cross of Calvary for the remission of all people from their sins, and that this same Christ offers the possibility of a new life in God to each person. A novelty of life that, in turn, is granted along with the new spiritual birth of everyone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and receives him in the heart as Lord. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. John 10, 10. B. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Ephesians 2, 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. If a person does not receive Christ, one cannot be born again. And if one is not born again, he or she is also deprived of receiving the favor of God that makes alive one's own spirit, thus remaining in the condition that one cannot indeed see the kingdom of God or enter it. Even if an individual receives information or explanations about what the heavenly kingdom is, one cannot indeed understand it unless he or she experiences the quickening or the reviving of one's spirit through the new birth in the Lord. Humans have been able to get to the point of promoting fertilization techniques that increase the possibility of conception of natural life, as well as they could reach what one never imagined could be done, such as the mapping of an individual's DNA. However, they cannot, through natural aspects, come to a kind of conception that allows them to become part of the kingdom of God, for the new birth does not occur nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. As much as science advances, the new being born of God in Christ Jesus can never have the spiritual DNA mapped by natural knowledge or techniques, because it is hidden in God and is generated directly from God in the person who receives Christ as the Lord of one's life, not being any natural seed involved in this process. The exact way in which a person's spirit is made alive is also not given to know to human beings, given them to know only that it occurs when a person believes in the Lord Jesus as the Christ sent by God and receives him in the heart as Lord, confessing it as well with the mouth. Given this, to understand that through the new birth an entirely new spiritual condition occurs in the person who experiences it is of vital importance to a Christian, for this is also a condition for a life of worship to God that is accepted by the Heavenly Father. Without the experience of the new birth, a person does not have a spirit that is made alive by the Lord and, in turn, without the quickened spirit, a person does not meet the minimum or essential requirements to live a life of proper worship before the Lord. Remembering, still, that worship is also the expression of serving God or of living and walking according to the will of the Heavenly Father. In the subject named works, services, and labors, the meaning of the word worship is more widely discussed. Without being made, by God, in a new being or without the quickened spirit, the spirit brought to life, there is no way for a person indeed worshiping God in conformity with the kind of worship that the Heavenly Father is seeking. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. John 4:23-24. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worshipping God in spirit and truth is not the worship of a soul that seeks to adopt the principles, concepts, and behaviors that the soul understands to be spiritual, nor is it the actions of a soul that has disciplined itself to speak about subjects which oneself calls as spiritual. A person, just in one's natural condition, may even attempt exhaustively to serve God, but without the new birth granted to the one who receives Christ in the heart as the Lord, this person remains dissociated from the worship in spirit and truth for which the Heavenly Father is seeking. The condition that a Christian receives from God to serve him in spirit and truth is also a condition that Paul testifies about himself and his service, worship, to the Heavenly Father, as exemplified below. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. As already mentioned, the new being in God or the new creature in Christ is not firstly a recreated soul, but it is manifested by an indeed new aspect that is added to the life of the one who experiences the new creation and through which the soul can be appropriately assisted and restored. When the scriptures show us that there is a second birth possible for all individuals or an opportunity to be born again, they teach us that there are two distinct births possible for the same person to experience and that respectively enable distinct conditions of life, showing us, yet, that these two distinct births are so differentiated because they also come from such different origins, as explained in one more text below. 1 Corinthians 15:45-48. And so it is written. The first man Adam became a living being, or soul, dot. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, the second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. The first Adam, from whom all human beings descend, naturally speaking, was made by God as a living soul, for the name Adam is also a figure of the initiator of a race or of a species that succeeds him. The natural conception of a person, according to the species of the first Adam, must come first. Without the natural conception of an individual, there is also no existence of the second birth, a reason why the Lord Jesus Christ declared, "You must be born again." On the other hand, the second birth, the new birth that revives or gives life to the spirit of a person, is according to the last Adam, to the eternal initiator of a race. The new birth is granted according to the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. For this reason, the Lord Jesus is also called the second man or the last Adam, for he is the first new man of the new birth species, and which is a unique and eternal race. Christ came into the world for people to be freed from the prisons to which they were subjected as the descendant race of the first Adam, but Christ came not only to offer freedom to them. Christ came to provide freedom because he is a life-giving spirit that, in addition to liberty, is powerful to grant a new beginning in a new lineage that is not according to the first Adam, but, yes, according to the direct lineage of the eternal Son of the Heavenly Father. Christ is spiritual life that also gives spiritual life and who constitutes an entirely new lineage of persons created in conformity with the heavenly kingdom, and not according to the natural world. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh but made alive by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. John 5:21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. If we observe once again that Christ is a life-giving Spirit, we can see that when the Lord uttered the words below, he also uttered them about himself. John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are a spirit, and they are life. To say that the Spirit of God gives life or to say that Christ gives life has the same effect, for Christ is life-giving Spirit. So, the one who believes in Christ and receives the Lord in one's heart also receives the one who has all the power given by the Heavenly Father to generate the life in the Spirit that a person needs to live and walk in Spirit and truth before the Heavenly Father. To further highlight the new condition provided in Christ Jesus to those who believe in him, let us also see a little more about the expressions to quicken, to make alive, or life-giving according to some considerations associated with Strong's lexicon in the online Bible. To revitalize, to make alive, to give life, or to quicken. Coming from the Greek word, zoopoio, meaning, among others. 1. To give life. 2. To cause to live. 3. To restore life, or to revive. 4. To produce alive, begot or bear living young. 5. To make alive. When the scriptures teach us that Christ is a life-giving spirit, or that we are made alive in Christ, they also show us that the Lord has all the power to produce life and to bring forth a new life in the spirit of those who formerly lived only as a living soul. The Lord is the Almighty God and fully able to heal a wounded, sick, or ill physical body, just as the Lord can give strength and encouragement to any dejected soul that he wants to help, and he does so over and over again. However, the newness of life, offered by the Lord through the new birth, is granted, in fact, by making alive the spirit of an individual or by the granting of a quickened spirit to a person. When a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart, one receives as a gift a living spirit in order to, through this spirit, come to know and experience continuously and increasingly the newness of life in conformity with the heavenly kingdom. And once a person comes to have the made alive spirit received from the life-giving Christ, a diversity of factors pertinent to the new creation also becomes available to him or her in the Lord. With the quickened spirit by the Lord, through the new birth, a person becomes able to see and receive the kingdom of God, as well as to be able to see the principles of God with heavenly understanding and oneself in a way that one could not perceive before. Under this condition of having a made alive spirit, let us see once again a text already mentioned, in part, in the previous chapters. 1 Corinthians 2:6-16. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The spiritual man, mentioned in the text above, is the new man, is the new creation that is given to a person in the new birth and that encompasses the spirit that is made alive by the Lord in the person who receives him in the heart, remembering that the word man used in some translations of this same text refers to the expression of being, that is why the referred expression obviously applies to both men and women. The spiritual man is the expression applicable to that person who has had one spirit made alive by the Lord and who lives and walks according to this new condition, through which a person can now comprehend and grow in the understanding of the kingdom of God. It is to the spirit that has been made alive, through the new birth, that the Spirit of God testifies about the new condition that a person receives by becoming a new creature in Christ Jesus. Since the natural man cannot see and understand the aspects of the heavenly kingdom and the Spirit of the Lord, God, through the new birth in Christ Jesus, grants a quickened spirit to every person who believes in the grace of his gospel. Through the new birth, God grants a new condition in which natural men and women who receive his gospel are also constituted as spiritual persons who can discern, spiritually, the things of God offered to them by the heavenly grace. Romans 8:14-16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God.